Radio 4. Now, the classic serial. 10 years after his escape from the notorious Château d'If, Edmond Dantès has arrived in Paris, determined to seek revenge.
The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich. Part 2.
Of course, Danglars is consumed with envy, but he'd never go so far as to actually admit it.
And this Count of Monte Cristo has called upon your husband.
Paris is cold for May.
Apparently, he requested a line of credit at the bank worth over 6 million francs.
6 million?
According to Danglars, he is as rich as Croesus. And the apartment he has bought himself. Oh, the pride of the Champs-Élysées.
Goodness.
Not that anyone's actually seen it, of course.
But Paris is also alive with rumour.
He received no visitors.
8 weeks in town and not one invitation, despite his being invited to every fashionable salon there is.
No.
Outrageous, isn't it? Speaking of outrageous, I take it you've seen the front page of this morning's newspaper.
I have. And I, for one, do not believe a word of it. Commander Fernando Morcerf, a national traitor. Nonsense. Your husband should be ashamed for printing it.
My words, exactly. But will Danglars listen?
As far as I'm concerned, the mere fact that the de Morcerfs are proceeding as planned with this year's spring ball categorically proves, that the commander has nothing, absolutely nothing, to answer for. Do you suppose the Count is invited?
One would imagine so. Monsieur de Villefort will prosecute the case if it ever comes to that, I assume.
Oh, please, don't even speak of it, dear. I mean, people have been coming and going all morning. To be honest, it's a blessing to be out of the house.
Oh, how very inconvenient it must be for all of you.
Edouard, I do not worry about. He's such a wonderful, wonderful child.
Indeed.
But Valentine, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm at something of a loss as to what to do with that silly girl this afternoon. She's so very Valentine.
Then take the dappled greys out for a ride.
Oh, now?
Oh, why not? The carriage waits in the courtyard.
Oh.
But let us now attend, most honoured friends, to the clatter of hooves and wheels on the cobbled streets as they thunder towards those same apartments, the apartments of the Count of Monte Cristo. And watch as... terrifyingly...
What's happening to Stepmother?
Hold on to your brother and
all of Valentine!
They suddenly found her.
I just can't imagine how it can have happened, Count.
No.
And let us now witness the first act of the cataclysm the Count has come to wreak on those who so maliciously betrayed him.
One minute we were in the carriage, and the next the horses are... Whatever happened, do you think?
I have no idea.
The rearing.
Oh, drink a little more of this, Madame de Villefort.
I can't think what we would have done if your man had not been there to assist us. I cannot.
No.
What is this?
A tonic to revive you, nothing more.
And Edouard, where's Edouard?
He and Valentine are next door.
Are they all right?
I believe Valentine is reading and Edouard is playing contentedly with his toys.
If anything were to happen to that most dearest of boys, then I don't know, I really don't know what I would do.
And Valentine?
Valentine is more, how does one say it politely, self-contained. She takes after her late mother, my husband's first wife.
Then she is not your daughter?
Heavens, no. This elixir is really very good. Was it made from some sort of compound?
It was.
Of what elements?
Is chemistry an interest?
To a frivolous, silly woman such as myself, but yes, Count, yes. The light that science casts on the invisible world has always fascinated.
In that case, I would be delighted to enlighten you.
Oh.
And as the wife discovers the secrets of the Count's elixir, So the husband...
Order! Order! This emergency tribunal will come to order. Monsieur de Villefort...
makes his case.
The allegations prepared by the Crown Prosecutor's Office against Commander Fernand de Morcerf are as follows. One, that during the war against Turkey 10 years ago, he actively conspired with the Turkish authorities against our ally, the potentate Ali Pasha. Two, that he profited personally from this act of treachery. And three, that this betrayal led directly to the assassination of one of France's most trusted allies, as well as ensuring the eventual victory of the enemy. Order! No matter how unpalatable the members of this committee may find these allegations, it is my intention to provide you with an eyewitness tomorrow who will directly corroborate all that the Crown alleges. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What always intrigues me about this particular elixir is how easily it can be appropriated into something infinitely more dangerous.
Dangerous? In what way?
As you have just demonstrated, a simple readjustment of the chemicals is enough to produce a deadly poison.
Poison?
So subtle, one would have difficulty believing the victim had died for anything but natural causes.
Very macabre.
But I think that perhaps Madame de Villefort has had enough of her chemistry lesson for one day.
It was most diverting, my dear Count.
A pleasure.
And may I say how magnificent these apartments of yours are.
They are nothing to what my house in Auteuil will be.
Your house in Auteuil?
A house I hope that you and your husband will do me the great honour of visiting. Number 28 Rue de la Fontaine.
I'm sure Monsieur de Villefort will only be too delighted.
Although I trust you are not afraid of ghosts.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, the house comes with a most curious story, but I'm sure you are in much too much of a hurry to hear it.
I believe you are toying with me, monsieur.
I?
Yes, you.
Well, the story goes that there were once two lovers. He, a young widower, she, a beautiful heiress. Not long after their secret affair commenced, she found she was with child. Neither could afford the attendant scandal, and in their desperation, they decided to bury their newborn under a tree. Where the pathetic remains were, tragically, unearthed many years later.
Dear God! Who would do such a thing?
And it is said that one can still hear the infant's ghostly wails in the night. Of course, it is just a nonsensical story.
Of course. And I have taken up far too much of your time.
Not at all.
Now, I shall gather up the children and bid you adieu.
Will I be seeing you at the spring ball this evening?
Sadly, no. My husband does not believe it appropriate. These dreadful allegations against Commander de Morcerf.
Ah, yes, the allegations.
Well, naturally, I don't believe a word of it, but my husband is, well, the Crown Prosecutor. Are the children through here?
They are.
Then I shall see myself out, and thank you again.
I've never seen a house like it.
Count?
Yes, Grandfather, the Count of Monte Cristo. They say he's even wealthier than you.
Wealthier? Possible? Not.
The house of the Crown Prosecutor, Gérard de Villefort, is a tall, somewhat gloomy house on the Champs-Élysées.
And tonight he is going to the spring ball. All of Paris cannot stop talking about him. The stories one hears. Slaves.
And in its attic sits an old man, whom illness has all but struck silent.
You.
And his beloved granddaughter.
Not.
Valentine de Villefort.
I was to attend, but Father has forbidden it on account of these charges against Commander de Morcerf. And I was so looking forward to going, because among the invited guests is... Oh, that I might see him for just a moment. Oh, Grandfather. Grandfather. He is of good family.
Who?
I cannot tell you. I wish I could, but I cannot. Father would never allow it.
Cry. Don't. Leontine!
You look truly beautiful tonight, Ayday.
Now at last, most honored friends, it is time for me to make my first...
You shall dazzle them all.
...appearance.
My master exaggerates.
You're trembling, child.
Forgive me, master, but I am afraid.
Of what?
Of seeing him again.
I shall be at your side. No harm will befall you.
But if Commander de Morcerf recognizes me?
Remember, I am always with you. After you.
But for the briefest of moments, the Count hesitates.
I do not believe I can do this.
And in his head...
Countess.
A voice.
How am I ever to endure this night?
The voice of his beloved and long-dead friend and fellow prisoner.
By remembering that you carry out God's will.
Abbe Faria.
But if I fail him...
You are God's instrument. Here to carry out his divine will and take his just revenge on...
Fanon de Morcerf.
Trust in him and you cannot fail. You cannot.
You are, as ever, my truest guide.
Now go, Dantes. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Count of Monte Cristo and Mademoiselle Ayday.
Excited, curious eyes now peer over exquisitely ornamented fans, and sharp, curious glances bolt wild as white lightning across that ballroom bedecked with flowers.
Remember what I taught you, Ayday. Never look down.
And it is now that I see him.
So we meet at long last, monsieur. You must be the Count of Monte Cristo. An honor. Fernand de Morcerf at your service.
Commander de Morcerf, permit me to introduce Ayday.
Enchanted.
The man who murdered my father. My mother. My brothers. My sisters. The man who now gently takes my hand in his.
Yes.
The man who now raises it to his...
Enchanted.
...lips.
May I ask how long you have both been in Paris?
A few weeks. Your son Albert has been most hospitable.
And has my son had the great good fortune to be introduced to the charming Ayday?
I do not believe he has yet had that pleasure. Perhaps you were on an errand for me that day.
Perhaps, master.
An errand? Ayday is part of your household.
She is my slave.
Your... Oh.
I bought her in a market in Constantinople some 10 years ago. She was a child then, barely 9, I believe. The blue of her eyes was what first caught my attention.
They are indeed lustrous, Count.
And had obviously seen such terrible suffering.
And did you learn much about her history?
I learnt enough.
Which was?
That she was the daughter of a cruelly betrayed sultan, and as a consequence of that betrayal had suffered the most terrible misfortunes.
We've not met before, have we, Count?
I do not believe we have.
But I understand you have visited Baron Danglars.
In fact, we spoke of you, amongst many other things.
You spoke of me?
Only in the most roundabout of terms, you understand.
Well, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance at last.
The honor was mine.
I hope that you will both enjoy the ball.
Indeed.
Count, Ayday.
But as the commander walks across the hall, he does not so much as look at another of his fashionable guests. Instead, he opens a side door and disappears into his study.
Albert!
Yes, Father?
I need you to take over my duties tonight. Dear God!
Tell me what's happened.
It was Monte Cristo. Your friend, Monte Cristo.
What was?
It was he who has spread this terrible rumor against me. I know it is.
You must be mistaken.
I am not mistaken, the girl.
What girl?
The girl he is with.
You're not making any sense, Father.
Please, Albert.
If he has dishonored you, then demand satisfaction.
I can't do that, not with this wretched tribunal tomorrow. How the devil do you know this Monte Cristo anyway?
He saved me from bandits in Rome.
And is a bandit himself.
Then honour demands that I...
Honour be damned.
Very well. If you will not do something about this...
Albert! Albert!
I can't tell you how delighted we were finally to see you at our house, Count.
Baron Danglars is indeed a financial sorcerer.
I'm sure my husband was only too happy to assist you.
And may I say that that is a most bewitching sable you're wearing.
It was a gift.
From your devoted husband, I assume?
For shame, Count.
I thought that was you, Hermine.
Mercedes, at last. You have outdone yourself as ever, my dear. The decor, quite magnificent.
Thank you.
And have you met the Count of Monte Cristo?
I have heard so very much about you.
And for the tiniest moment...
Madame.
She falters.
Oh, forgive me. You are most welcome to our home.
As if startled by a half-remembered presence.
Thank you.
And of course, I wanted to thank you personally for the great service you did my son in Rome.
I was only too glad to have been of assistance.
For a moment, the briefest of moments, the Count is no longer here, but racing along a quayside in Marseille.
Mercedes! Mercedes!
With his heart fit to burst with love and longing, as he all but sprints to her rickety house on that long-ago day at the end of February, 1815.
I love your home! Your home!
25 years before.
When did you get back?
Just an hour ago. Is something wrong?
Wrong? What could possibly be wrong?
Then you've missed me.
Oh, come here, Edmond Dantès.
Oh, I spoke to my father, Mercedes. Tonight, we will celebrate our marriage feast at last. The room is booked. It's all arranged.
Then we are finally to be married.
In just a few weeks. Oh, and that's not all.
What, Edmund?
Well, you'd probably not be interested.
What? Well,
Monsieur Morel wants me as captain of the Ferrand.
As captain? That's incredible.
Oh, return to us at last, Dantès.
Fenon! How are you, my friend?
Never better.
I hope Fenon has been taking good care of you in my absence, Mercedes.
He has been most attentive.
Then I am indebted to you. You're coming to our marriage feast tonight, I hope.
May I speak with you for a moment, Mercedes? If Edmund permits.
As long as you be sure to give her back to me.
What did I ever do to be treated so harshly?
Oh, not again, Fernand, especially not here.
But then there is no hope for me, for us.
There is, and there never was any us. When are you ever...
Well, then I cannot live.
Oh, don't do this, please.
Fernand!
Congratulations to you, Dantès. To you both. If you will excuse me.
Fernand?
Oh, leave him, Edmund.
Oh, did I do something to upset him?
Oh, let us take him at his word.
But let us follow the scheming Fernand.
Now you're clear, Fernand.
To that alleyway in the old port of Marseille.
Clear about what will happen as soon as this letter is delivered? The consequences?
To his rendezvous with Danglars.
Dantès will be arrested.
Dantès will be arrested and more than likely thrown in jail for treason.
Then that will be an end to him.
And you can live with that?
If it means I marry Mercedes,
then nobody must ever know.
Won't be me that opens his mouth.
To their betrayal and malicious denunciation of the innocent Edmond Dantès.
Monte Cristo!
Oh, Albert!
It is you who has dishonored our family's good name. Do you deny it?
I do.
Then please, identify the young lady who accompanies you tonight.
Her name is Aide, and she is, I believe, the daughter of the late Sultan Ali Pasha.
And you bring her here, to this house?
As I was invited to do.
My glove, sir.
Please don't do this, Albert.
Shall we say the banks of the Seine?
If that is what you wish.
My second will call upon you at first light, the day after tomorrow. Will that be convenient?
It will.
Very well, then.
Albert!
Paris whirls into a hive of whispers.
The ball was suddenly over. A scandal. imagined.
He has no soul, they say.
Oh, the Count of Monte Cristo.
And he never loses.
Never.
And as the night turns into the first light of day, the Count and I sit quietly together in my beautifully appointed chambers overlooking the Champs-Élysées.
And if this tribunal won't believe me?
They will believe you, Ade. You must have faith.
Commander de Morcerf is a national hero.
He is also a murderer.
Will you come with me to court?
It would be better if you go on your own, but I shall be here waiting.
Depend upon it.
You are my most loving master.
There is no need to address me so.
But am I not your slave?
In name alone.
Away from you, I have no freedom.
Surely the day must come when a child liberates herself from her parent, no matter how benign they may be.
But you are not my parent, and I am very far from considering myself your child.
I am not sure I take your meaning, Ade.
Will that traitorous devil, Fernando Morcerf, at last pay for his crimes?
Thanks to you, he will. Yes.
Then my family will finally be avenged.
Sleep now, child.
And as the Count closes the door and descends to his study, another study door...
Have you any idea what time it is, Commander?
...is opened.
I do, Baron Danglars. Yes. But I have come to you on a matter of some urgency.
Which is what, may I ask?
The conversation you had with your good friend, the Count of Monte Cristo.
Now, Fernand. No need for the tone. What on earth do you think you're doing?
Focusing your attention, I hope.
Have we not seen these two together before? In a small, dirty alley in the old port of Marseille?
I don't know what it is you think I can do for you.
I think you can publish a retraction of the accusations against me.
I am merely the paper's proprietor, not its editor.
Don't play me for a fool. Publish a retraction.
Provide me with some evidence supporting your position, and I will gladly do so.
Of course, they were both a little leaner then, a little hungrier.
What did this Count of Monte Cristo tell you? Well?
He merely mentioned in passing, that he had heard tell of a high-ranking French officer being involved in the betrayal of Ali Pasha to the Turks. We had our man out there do a little investigating, and... You know what you did, Fernand. Tribunal or no tribunal.
This isn't happening.
You were always greedy. Even back when you were a nobody fisherman in Marseille. Mooning over that peach Mercedes.
I will make you pay for this. Mark my words.
Oh, before you go.
What?
Regarding the wedding arrangements between your son Albert and my Eugénie... It might well be prudent for us to... Given the circumstances, I don't know.
Are you cancelling our agreement?
Reputation, my dear Fernand. It's all about reputation.
Madame de Morcerf.
Monsieur.
A great pleasure to see you once again, madame, and my thanks for a most diverting evening.
I shall come straight to the point of my visit, if I may.
Of course.
My son.
Yes?
But watch, most honoured friends, as her resolve deserts her. As she is confronted now by those cold blue eyes, searching out, it seems, the deepest chasms of her heart.
I believe my son was a friend to you.
I still consider him so.
And am I, then, by extension, a friend also, Count?
I am at your service, madame.
But are we friends?
Observe them there together. Eyes fixed steadily upon the other, as if each dares the other.
Perhaps when we are a little better acquainted.
To breathe.
Are you sure I cannot offer you any refreshment, some coffee, perhaps?
May I speak frankly?
By all means.
You have suffered greatly, I think.
Suffered?
In your life, you have lost attachments, perhaps loved ones.
The point of your question, madame.
But you are not unhappy now.
My present happiness is on an equal par with my former disappointments.
I am not sure I take your meaning.
No.
No. You are married, monsieur?
I have not had that good fortune.
You are unattached?
I am.
The girl who accompanied you yesterday, the girl who now gives evidence against my husband.
My slave, Aide. There was a girl, since you ask, a girl I once loved in Malta.
Malta?
Long time ago. 25 years. While I was unfortunately lost at sea, she discovered she loved another. It is an old song, often sung. Perhaps my youthful heart was not as resilient to disappointment as it might have been.
And you are sure she found she loved another?
As sure as you were standing there before me, madame.
There could be no mistake. You have never thought to return to Malta to seek her out?
No.
And have you forgiven her?
Her I have forgiven. Others, those who engineered our separation, I have not.
But who could have engineered your separation? Did you not just say you were lost at sea?
Did I?
Spare my son's life, monsieur.
It is he who has challenged me.
Then I beg you.
I need not remind you of the verdict of that stony-eyed tribunal, thanks in no small part to the evidence I now give on this miserable Parisian afternoon.
Father?
Yes, Albert.
What are you doing?
I need not remind you of the public vilification heaped upon the house of the unmasked traitor Fernand de Morcerf.
Arranging my affairs.
Or of the warrant now issued for his immediate arrest.
The girl who accompanied the Count last night, Aide.
What of her?
Her evidence to the tribunal this afternoon.
If you've something to say, boy.
Is it true, Father? The thing she accuses you of, betrayal, treason.
What do you think?
I'm asking you.
Whatever I did or did not do, I did for my family.
Then the allegations are genuine. You really did betray the Sultan Ali Pasha. Engineered the slaughter of his entire family.
Robert.
Everything we have. Everything I am. A lie.
Goodbye.
Answer me. Father.
As I have already said, madame, the matter is out of my hands.
Then you are resolved to duel with my son tomorrow morning.
Honor demands it.
The girl in Malta.
What about her?
Have you ever heard from her?
She has long forgotten me.
Did you never think to seek her out and ask her?
I believe she married one of those who betrayed me.
I have no idea what you are talking about, monsieur.
I believe you, Madame de Morcerf. I do.
The son cannot be held responsible for the crimes of his father. No matter how heinous. Lose this duel, I beg you.
Then you are asking me to die. We shall see.
We shall see?
A most pleasant visit, madame. Jacobo will show you out.
I can find the door without him. Thank you. And I'm sorry.
For what?
For everything we have both lost.
And as the sun sets on that dreadful day...
Count!
Our attention must journey...
Am I to assume that you are Albert II, Monsieur Morel?
I am.
...to the rising of the sun... as it illuminates those quiet banks of the Seine.
Is he not with you?
He must be delayed.
I take it he has heard the tribunal's verdict against his father.
One assumes so.
We have met before, have we not?
We have, at Albert's apartments.
A happier rendezvous than this, I think.
It was, I believe, your very first day in Paris.
Morel, you say?
Yes.
Not at all related to Morel and Sons of Marseille.
Pierre Morel was my father. You knew him?
Only by repute. He is well, I hope.
He died some time ago.
My sincere condolences.
Thank you. Count, at last.
You are late, monsieur.
I must beg your forgiveness.
Albert. There is no need to kneel.
I have accused you falsely.
You have me at a disadvantage.
My father was, I believed, a soldier, a commander, above all a man of honor. I believed all of these things of him without question. All of them.
Get up, Albert.
But
please.
I realize now that he is in fact a traitor. That my entire life has been based on an infamous lie. It was never my intention to dishonor you, Count. Please, accept my sincere gratitude for all that you have done for me. Adieu.
Wait, Albert! Wait!
Paris, it seems, is in uproar.
Disappeared, almost without trace.
Well, is he armed?
I believe so.
In that case, alert your best officers, initiate a manhunt. I want the traitor Fernand de Morcerf standing before me in the dock this afternoon.
Are we really not taking anything with us, Mama?
Nothing.
But what will become of the house? The furniture?
The state will take it all, in compensation for your father's crimes.
And father?
Is a wanted man. We must do our best to forgive him.
Where will we go?
Home. To Marseille.
Mother, wait.
Yes?
I hope you will not be too disappointed in me.
Whatever's happened?
I have accepted a commission with the Dragoons.
The Dragoons?
My mind is quite made up. How else is the good name of de Morcerf ever to be reclaimed?
In that case, what choice do I have?
God bless you, Mother. And thank you.
Now, I would very much like to leave this house.
Monte Cristo!
Leave and never return.
Monte Cristo!
Commander de Morcerf.
You just barged in here, sir.
Thank you, Jacopo. That will be all.
Should I not alert the authorities?
Not just at this second, no.
But I...
That will be all, Jacopo. May I offer you some brandy, Commander?
Brandy.
Or wine?
Are you mocking me?
No. I trust your wife and son are well.
My wife and son have abandoned me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you? Are you really?
I am.
You see, I very much wanted to see for myself the face of the man who has actively sought to destroy me.
In order for you to accomplish that, you need only find yourself a looking glass.
What did you say?
I said you need only find yourself a looking glass.
You know that I could kill you where you stand.
I know that you could try.
Is that a threat?
It is a simple statement of fact.
Do you know who I am?
All too well.
I assume your man has gone to alert the authorities.
Adet was barely 8 years old when I bought her. A child in a dirty cage.
Your little slave girl testified against me in open court. Lied.
You stop deluding yourself, Fernand.
You dare to address me by my Christian name?
I do.
Then again you have me at a disadvantage, monsieur.
Do you really not know me?
Of course I don't know you.
I think perhaps your wife may have recognized me.
Mercedes was here.
She is still as beautiful as she ever was, isn't she?
What business have you with my wife?
To think that we were engaged to be married once upon a time.
Dantès. Edmund Dantès.
You seem surprised.
This is a trick. a jest.
14 years in the Chateau d'If.
Get away from me!
Ignored, forgotten, left to die. And all thanks to a piece of paper falsely denouncing me as a traitor to the authorities.
It was Dongla. Dongla, who wrote that?
And you who delivered it.
How could you know that?
I know what occurred in Marseille that night in every particular, Fernand.
Edmond Dantès is dead. Dead.
Really?
How can this be happening?
And now, at last, you know what it is to have everything you have ever loved taken away from you.
I could kill you. I could. This pistol's loaded.
Hard to kill a dead man, wouldn't you say? I'd imagine your execution will attract quite a crowd, don't you? You'll be the talk of all Paris.
Dongla.
Dongla and I will meet in due course. You may depend upon it.
Oh, help me. Don't, please.
No.
No, I cannot be arrested. The disgrace.
There is no alternative. Unless.
Unless.
You hold the solution in the palm of your hand. Goodbye for now.
Oh, you don't want to watch me die?
I believe I already have.
The first blossoms of spring tumble every which way along the bright and airy boulevards of the always magnificent Paris, heralding at last the first stir of summer, as they flutter hopelessly against the locked and shuttered windows of the house of the traitor de Morcerf, who even now, most honored friends, raises a gleaming silver pistol to his forehead. And now a single shot in a darkened room echoes along every shadowy street and alley until its reverberations reach even the oh-so-beautifully decorated apartments of one of the most desired addresses in Paris.
My dear Count.
Baron Dongla, what an absolute delight.
That came as soon as I heard.
Heard?
That the traitor de Morcerf was here, in this very room.
A matter best forgotten.
Dangerous man, de Morcerf. Ruthless. Always was.
Well, he's quite dead now, is he not?
With a pistol given him by the king, apparently.
The irony. Was there some other reason for your visit, Baron Dongla? It's not that it isn't always a pleasure, but...
Well, yes, Count. Actually, there was... You see, now that Albert de Morcerf has left Paris in disgrace, well, obviously my beautiful daughter Eugénie is suddenly no longer affianced.
Affianced?
My point is, the young man you mentioned when we discussed extending you the credit of my bank. Your ward. And
Andrea Cavalcanti.
The very fellow.
What about him?
I wondered if he might not be a more suitable suitor for my Eugénie.
Why? The same thought had actually crossed my mind.
It had?
Do you doubt me?
Well, this is news without compare, sir. Without compare? Well... We must meet the boy as soon as is possible.
Well, you surely don't imagine that I will provide you with a date this instant, Baron.
Oh, of course not, my dear Count. Perish the thought. It's just that my wife and I are keen to know you so very much better.
Oh, you will come to know me better, Baron. Depend upon it.
Good. Marvellous. Oh, and, I take it the credit I afforded to you is quite sufficient for your needs?
Perfectly so.
Ah. In that case, I shall,
Indeed. Au revoir.
As Paris settles into early summer, and streetlights hiss into golden light. A carriage, resolute as death, now pulls up outside the Count's apartments.
Maltese.
Yes, Jacopo.
Looks like you have another visitor. Crown Prosecutor Gérard de Villefort.
I see.
It's alone, Maltese. I just thought...
Well, thank you, old friend, but it's nothing I cannot deal with.
And I trust you are satisfied with how we brought Madame de Villefort's carriage down.
It was, of course, expertly done. Not a scratch to man or beast. Mm.
Still got a trick or two up my sleeve, don't I?
We shall take a pipe of hashish together later, I hope.
Certainly.
Now, we'd best not delay the Crown Prosecutor any longer than we have to.
Breathing softly. Oh, so very softly. Observe the Count as he looks into the mirror above the fire and does not see in its brilliant reflection an exquisitely furnished room.
Repeat it back to me, Dantes. All of it.
But instead a dungeon, dark and buried deep in the bowels...
But I understand it, Abbé Faria.
...of the Chateau d'If.
Repeat it.
But what if you're wrong? What if they did not betray me?
Then you're a fool, Edmund, and deserve to rot here. I say it.
Fénon and Danglars betrayed me.
Their motives?
Fénon for Mercedes, for lust, and Danglars for my position on the Ferron.
Good. You're learning at last.
But still, de Villefort's reason for imprisoning me here is unclear. He was prosecutor for Marseille, a man of responsibility and trust.
And let us analyze him again.
But we have already analyzed him over and over and over.
And we'll continue to do so until we have discovered the meaning behind his actions. Now, you say on the night of your arrest, you had a letter to deliver.
Yes.
A letter addressed to whom?
To a General Noirtier.
Noirtier, dear. Think, Maria, think. Of course.
What, old friend?
Don't you see, Dantes? Noirtier is the key.
The key to what?
Your undoing.
My undoing?
Yes, Jacopo.
Monsieur Gérard de Villefort, Crown Prosecutor.
Thank you, Jacopo. That will be all.
Count. Monsieur... Count of Monte Cristo.
An honour, sir.
Well, I thought it only right and proper that I, Gérard de Villefort, Crown Prosecutor of Paris, come to your house and formally thank you for the kindness you demonstrated my family in their hour of need.
Monsieur de Villefort, the satisfaction of preserving the life of a child and not sundering that most sacred of bonds which exists between a mother and her son relieved you of any obligation to visit me today.
You are too gracious.
Then let us say no more about it.
Geography.
I'm sorry?
Well, the maps on the wall there, is it an interest?
I'm more interested in humanity.
You're a philosopher.
As you were a Crown Prosecutor. Now tell me, please, is that a title worth having?
I beg your pardon?
Because for my part, I'm damned if I can see any kind of use for it.
They say you have travelled widely, Count. The East?
Yes.
Then perhaps those cultures do not quite comprehend our subtle systems of French justice.
They understand an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Ask Fernand de Morcerf.
De Morcerf took his own life and so escaped rightful prosecution.
But in taking his own life, has not God's justice most surely been done?
You've not been in Paris long, have you, Count?
Long enough.
And in that room of shadow and silence, another room starts to appear to the Count.
Dantès. They say your name is Dantès.
That is correct, sir.
A room not seen in over 25 years.
And you were arrested when?
Not 1 hour ago, at my marriage feast.
A room in Marseille.
Now, according to this document, you are apparently a fanatical Bonapartist, actively engaged in plans to return the disgraced emperor back to power.
I'm what?
Well, is that not why you have been denounced?
Denounced?
You sound surprised.
It's true that I delivered a package to Elba on behalf of the captain of the Ferron, of which I am first mate.
To Elba? And did you see Bonaparte?
I did, sir, but only for an instant.
And what was in this package?
I've no idea.
Well, you have an honest look about you, Dauntless.
Because everything, in every particular, I say is true, sir.
Well, now, think carefully before you answer this. Is there anything you have about your person which might incriminate you in any way?
I have this letter, sir, addressed to one General Noitier.
Repeat that name, please.
Noitier? General Noitier, are you acquainted with the gentleman, sir?
Have you had any personal dealings with General Noitier?
None whatsoever, until a week ago. I never even heard of him.
Right. The letter, please. The devil.
Sir?
Have you opened this letter? Tampered with it in any way?
No, sir.
Would it surprise you to know that this letter proves that there is a very real plot to restore the traitor Napoleon as Emperor of France?
What? Hmm?
As well as timely warnings to those closely associated with the intrigue?
It would, sir. Completely.
Now, here is what I am going to do for you, Dauntless. First of all, I'm going to burn this letter. A letter you are going to forget you ever had in your possession, is that clear?
It is forgotten already.
And then I'm going to instruct the guards to take you to the Chateau d'If where...
The Chateau d'If?
Where you will be held for your safety until I have discovered who has acted so mendaciously against you. I shall get to the bottom of this, Monsieur Dauntless. You have my solemn word on it. Sergeant.
Sir.
I'm finished with this prisoner.
Very good, sir.
You give my compliments to the governor of the D'If, and you tell him that in this regard, NATBT, he'll understand.
NATBT. Very good, sir.
Now, the sergeant here, he'll take good care of you.
Thank you, monsieur. Thank you.
We shall meet again under more pleasant circumstances, I hope.
I hope so too, sir.
I hope so too, sir.
Perhaps I might offer you some refreshment, Monsieur de Villefort, some brandy?
As the Count stares at the thin-drawn man who stands so censoriously before him, it seems inconceivable that he could ever have been so naive as to...
Thank you, no.
But leave him.
Then perhaps, as an officer of the law, you can help me with an abbreviation I came across some years ago in an old legal document.
Yes, yes, gladly.
Trust him.
N-A-T-B-T.
Ah, it was an informal code we used years ago. No action to be taken. It was generally used to signify men who were perceived to be dangerous political activists. Anti-monarchists.
Bonapartists.
Bonapartists especially. Fanatics to a man, everyone.
Thank you. You have been most helpful.
Am I to understand that you do have some interest in our judicial system, after all?
Although I consider myself to be above all human law, yes.
Above all law? I'm not sure I'm quite with you.
There are certain men whose personalities have been so fashioned by fate and destiny. Men who accurately perceive the sacred truth of justice and answer only to the greatest and most magnificent judge of all.
And who might that be?
Why, God himself.
And do you consider yourself to be such a man?
I do.
I see. I see that it amuses you to make sport of me.
Not by any means.
Well, I thank you once again for the great service you did my wife and child, sir. It's been a most fascinating conversation. Good evening.
There is one more thing I would ask. Your father.
Yes?
His name is Noitier, isn't it? General Noitier?
May I ask why this is of interest?
I heard he was a brave and noble commander.
Your information is correct.
For a Bonapartist.
The somewhat misguided political views of my father are well documented.
But you do not share them?
And never have.
Is that why you change your name?
Is there something that you wish to share with me, Count?
Only that I hope you and your wife will do me the honor of visiting me at my country house.
We shall await your invitation keenly, Count.
And as the Crown Prosecutor stiffly bows his head...
Monsieur...
That same, once fearless, General Noitier, father to de Villefort, loyal supporter of the long-dead Emperor Napoleon, is being fed some cold soup.
It's no good you kicking up so, Father. Can't let you starve, can we? And it's parsnip, your favourite.
From a wooden spoon.
No!
He who, as we know, most honoured friends...
Stroke or no stroke, you're not above good manners, General.
...sits alone in a dusty attic.
No!
Very well, then. We shall wait until Monsieur de Villefort returns from visiting the Count of Monte Cristo, and you can tell him why you have refused to eat.
Cristo!
I just told you all about him. The man who saved young Edouard and I from certain death. Do you not listen to a word I say?
Valentine!
Your granddaughter is in her room.
Jean!
Some soup first.
There
he goes. Well done. And open. I must say, the house will certainly be quieter when Valentine is finally off our hands and married.
Married?
Yes, General, married. To Franz d'Epigny, no less.
D'Epigny?
Such a well-connected family. Aristocratic.
What?
Oh, monsieur!
Liar! Liar!
I shall fetch your son, I shall.
Valentine! Valentine!
And explain your disgusting behaviour to him.
Secrets. Paris is all about secrets.
Valentine!
Over here, my love.
And in the quietest corner of de Villefort's somewhat gloomy garden, another...
I have counted the hours.
...is to be discovered on either side of an old garden wall.
If only I could hold you in my arms and kiss you.
Don't say it, my love.
Oh, then let me climb over.
No, you mustn't. Listen, Maximilian. There is a terrible rumour.
What rumour?
I am to be engaged to Franz d'Epigny.
D'Epigny?
You know him.
I do, and he's a fool.
Valentine!
There's my stepmother. You must go.
I cannot bear it.
Where are you, you silly girl?
Go!
Until tomorrow, my love.
There you are. Did you not hear me calling?
I was just on my...
In future... Will you come when you are called for?
It's no good you pulling faces, Father. Valentine is to be married to Franz d'Epigny, and there it is.
Lawyer! Lawyer!
What?
Lawyer!
A lawyer? Why?
Disinherit!
Disinherit who?
Valentine!
You would destroy your granddaughter's one opportunity for security and social advancement.
Lawyer!
The d'Epigny family have one of the oldest and most respected names in France, and weren't you and he allies? That's enough, Father! Now, your wishes regarding who inherits this family's wealth will, of course, be respected and honoured. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Valentine! Valentine!
Come.
You wanted to see me, Father?
I did, Valentine. For some time now, your stepmother and I have considered your future happiness.
Thank you, Father.
And to that end, we've had the good fortune to engineer a match between yourself and the d'Epigny family.
I see.
Ah, I wanted to be the first to share this happy news with you.
May I ask if you are resolved on pursuing this course of action?
You may, and I am. Are you crying?
No, Father.
Oh, dear child. It is for the best, I promise you. Come.
Have you told Valentine the good news, Gerard?
I have.
Is it not good news, Valentine? It is, I suppose.
You suppose?
You may go to your room, Valentine.
Thank you, Father, stepmother.
Straight to bed, mind. She's so willful.
You might be kinder, Eloise.
Kinder.
Well, the girl has a lot to adjust to.
We should arrange a meeting with Monsieur d'Epigny just as soon as we can.
Agreed.
Perhaps after we have visited the Count of Monte Cristo at his new house in Auteuil.
At?
He told me about it this afternoon. Apparently it's haunted.
Sorry, his house where?
Auteuil. Rue de la Fontaine. Story goes that these two young lovers buried their baby in his garden, and one can still hear its ghostly cries in the night.
He told you this?
What a remarkable character the Count is.
Which number, Rue de la Fontaine?
Which number?
Yeah, which number?
Well, no, sir.
Why can't you just answer the question?
28. Didn't your late wife's parents have a house at that address?
They did. Yes, they did.
Are you all right, Gerard? Look as though you've seen a ghost yourself.
Forgive me, Eloise. It's been a long and difficult day.
Are you sure you don't want me to call
no,
a doctor?
No, I am positive. Thank you. Thank you.
Extraordinary, the coincidence, no?
Extraordinary.
In The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich, the Count is played by Ian Glenn, Aide by Jane Lapoterre, the younger Aide, Amber Rose Reva, and Abbe Faria, Richard Johnson. Baron Danglars is Toby Jones, Hermine Danglars, Stephanie Racine, Fernand de Morcerf, Zubin Varla, and Mercedes de Morcerf, Josette Simon. Gérard de Villefort is Paul Rees, Eloise de Villefort, Kate Fleetwood, General Noirtier, Carl Johnson, Valentine, Lizzie Watts, and Albert, Will Howard. Jacopo is played by Joe Sims, Max Morel by Adam Nagaitis, and the coachman by Paul Stonehouse. The music is by David Tobin and Jeff Meegan, and the directors are Jeremy Mortimer and Sasha Yevtushenko.
Next Sunday, the Count of Monte Cristo tightens his grip on Baron Danglars and the Crown Prosecutor. After the news, James Naughtie presents Book Club.
There was a neighbour who, rather than go on benefits, she would sell everything in the house.
70 years after the foundations for the welfare state were laid.
The difficulty with the welfare state is that if somebody else is funding your lifestyle, you think that's just great.
We have to watch every single penny we spend. It's hard work, being unemployed. It sounds so silly, but it is hard work.
A second chance to hear BBC Radio 4's special programme looking at the state of welfare. Tonight at 8 o'clock.